Good afternoon. Okay, so I'm going to talk about a major water cycle component of a tropical watershed in Hawaii. This is the island of Oahu. Hawaii has five major islands. And the research site is in the western part of the island, which is the Makaha watershed. So this is the upper part of the watershed. And you can see how steep is the terrain there and the type of vegetation that you can encounter there. Population growth, climate change, and human-induced land use changes triggered high pressure on the quantity and quality of our water resources. The impact of these changes have more pronounced effect on small, steep watersheds, such as the one we have in Hawaii, with a strong spatial temporal variability of the major component of the water cycle. So, to give you an idea about the spatial variability of, for example, rainfall, you can see in the coastal area here of the watershed, you have less than 600 millimeters of rain a year. But if you go up to the highest point on the watershed, it's about 200 millimeters. This is, and we're talking about few kilometers here. However, this can be also more substantiate in the island of Kauai, where you have in the coastal area about 2,000 millimeters, but in the upper part of the watershed, you have about more than 10 meters of rain a year, which is what make it one of the wettest point on Earth. So there is a strong spatial and temporal variability of the rainfall across the landscape there in a short period of time, in short space. So the objective of this study is to determine spatial and temporal variation of hydrologic cycle component at the watershed scale. This is the field component of the talk. The second objective, which is related to the modeling component, which will be to establish a robust watershed hydrological modeling component where different models are calibrated, validated, and obviously used to run different land use changes scenarios, being it historical or what happened in the past, or for forecasting and for prediction what could happen in the future. In 2004, an experimental watershed was established based on the upper part of the water of the Makaha watershed of Oahu. And one of the major goals for that was to quantify the spatial temporal variability of the major component of the water cycle, including gross rainfall, canopy interception, throughfall, stem flow, evapotranspiration, etc. To do that, so we have to monitor the site, and obviously this is a common thing. You are limited with the amount of funding available for you, so this is no news for any of us here in the room. So we wish to have a more dense network, but we did what we can with whatever amount of rainfall, funding available to us. Here is an idea about the type of vegetation that you can encounter in the watershed. You can see that some area you can have grasses, some deep vegetation, and some areas are really bare, relatively low vegetation, especially in the lower part of the watershed. So for this particular watershed, based on the availability of funding, we propose to have a network of six locations. We called two of them primary stations, where we have complete weather station measurements. Also, we have rainfall, canopy interception, stem flow, soil water content at the surface, top 20 centimeters, and also below 80 centimeters of depth. And the four remaining locations, we have rainfall, canopy interception, stem flow, and soil water content. How did we select these sites? The site selection was based on elevation, slope, land cover, soil type. So we wanted to have a representative monitoring in all the location as different slopes, different dominant land cover, and also the major soil types. taking in consideration the spatial distribution, also of the location they should be represented of the watershed, also the prominent wind directions, the proximity to near station. We don't want to have station near each other. Accessibility, you should be able to access these sites, and also representing of the watershed size. And one important component in our security, which is basically for not being vandalized, because that people hunt there, and we would like to minimize what we can. So for that purpose, these are the potential sites that we selected. And basically after that, we selected from these. Originally, they were 27, then we put them down to 18. And finally, we ended up by six. It is noticed here that this is Mount Ka'ala, which is the highest point on Oahu, that has a permanent long-term rainfall station monitored by the NCDC. And here in the lower part of the upper part of the watershed, which is there is USGS gauge where you have co-located rain gauge and stream flow gauge. And obviously you can see that this is the stream, Makaha stream there. So these are the specs for the six locations, the two primary stations, one and two, and these are the type of soil hydrological group and the land cover and the slopes and elevations. A closer look of these site locations that we were monitoring, as I said, the monitoring stations. So these are the locations. As you can see, they are representing almost the entire watershed. This is the USGS stream flow gauge, and also on the top of the structure there is rainfall gauges. As you can see, when we visited the site the first time, we noticed that there is an overgrown tree around the station. So we noticed that this may be influencing the rainfall catch of the station. So we further investigated that. Obviously, these are the ephemeral streams. So sometimes you have water, sometimes you don't have. Okay, so these are the type of rain gauges. Basically, we have an automatic tip-in bucket stream rainfall gauge, but at the same time, we had manual rain gauge so that in case something happened to the automatic, we always have at least cumulative rainfall. Also, we monitored the throughfall throughout the watershed. So this is in the lower part of the watershed. You can see that there is a sparse vegetation. So this collects the throughfall basically after canopy interception. We do have two per site. So this is a station five, and this is a station five. And you can notice the difference in vegetation across the watershed. These are in the upper part of the watershed. These are invasive species. These are strawberry guava. This is a coffee and strawberry guava. We have access to a groundwater well that we have a couple of transducers there to monitor the change in the groundwater level. We also monitoring the stem flow of the different plant species that we are having. So you have the collection of the stem, then goes to these tipping bucket rain gauges that collect stem flow from different trees, and we quantify the stem flow in the area. A groundwater level, as I mentioned, is monitored by pressure transducers on an hourly basis. Also, for the soil water content sensors, we used different soil water content sensors, and we calibrated them both in the field and in the lab, and this is during the process of taking samples at different water content for calibration purposes of the sensors. Some of the findings that we were able to find, for this purpose, I had two PhD students who finished their work on this site, and I have also a MS student who finished his MS on the site. So I'm going to report some of the highlights of the findings. This is where data homogeneity and missing data, as I mentioned to you, this is the station, rain station and steam flow gauges in 1959, but this is in 2006, and we noticed that there is this tree that is basically obstructing the catchment of the rain gauge. So we were able to do a double mass curve analysis. So this is the data before making any correction, and you can see that this is the accumulated precipitation at gauge on the upper part of the watershed, and this, I mean, in the other, this is at the site, and this is the other two rain gauges, and you can see if there was no obscurity, as you can see in the beginning, there was a good correlation, then the relationship start to deviate from one-to-one relation, I mean, not to one-to-one relationship, but from this particular relationship. So this tells us that there was the effect of the tree on that. And we were able to calculate a correction factor from 74 to 97 and 98 to 2000 and so on. And we were able to correct the rainfall. So the rainfall was basically underestimated by 24%. Which is a major component, I mean, of the study. We also tried to, based on those rainfall data, to see what is the effect of the interpolation method on the spatial distribution of the rainfall for the watershed, and basically we found out that the ordinary Krieging was one of the best methods that estimated the spatial distribution of the rainfall based on the eight locations that we have the data from. These are showing the throughfall data and also the rainfall data. So this is the throughfall for the period of almost 2 years. You can see that the throughfall rainfall, this is the rainfall at station one, up in the watershed and up in the watershed. You can see that as you go in the upper watershed, the rainfall increases. However, the throughfall is lower in the lower part of the watershed, also in one of the location which is dominated by the strawberry guava, and also this, there is variability between the throughfall across the watershed, and this due to the type of vegetation you have there. This is also the representing the relationship between throughfall and rainfall at individual station for different rainfall intensities. And you can see that in the lower rainfall intensity, most of the rain is intercepted by the canopy. Throughfall is lower, and as the intensity increases, that's what you expect. The rainfall, the throughfall tends to be as close as possible from the rainfall because the at this level, the canopy interception is minimum compared to in the lower intensity of the rainfall. This is evapotranspiration calculation based potential at the two sites, the two major sites, and you can see the lower watershed, the lower location has a higher potential than the upper location because of the, two factors. One of them is the decrease in air temperature, and the second one is also the cloud coverage, which is higher in the higher location than it is under the lower location. And this is what you expect, lower evapotranspiration as you go up in the altitude. So we did also some modeling work. Safiq, he finished his PhD and he did some modeling work, basically testing the performance of DHSVM. And I gave a detailed presentation about this early in the session. In conclusions, we can say the needs for additional field data at different scale, the plant, plot, and watershed, and even island-wide is needed. Invasive species impact on hydrology. We have seen that the impact on the stem flow is very substantial. We've seen a variability of the stem flow between 5% to 35% of the total incoming rainfall. So we would like to further investigate this, and this is mainly due to the presence of different species. The modeling work is just started, and we will be working more on the groundwater hydrology and using different groundwater model to try to simulate that. And obviously, for all of this, you need funding, and hopefully we can get more funding and for all of us. Thank you. Have any question, I will be happy to entertain. Sorry, I would like to acknowledge the funding source, and I would like to acknowledge my co-PIs and the different people who helped with this project. Also, some of the references, sorry, these are the publications that we got out of these, at least we got seven publications, but these are some of the I cited here. With that, these are some of the people who worked on the project, so acknowledge them too. Thank you. Any question? I'll be happy to entertain.
I think as we conclude here, I might ask if there's no specific questions. Are there any questions in general for any of our speakers? I think all but maybe one of our speakers from after the break are still here in the audience. So any questions or discussion?
I think I have a question, not a remark about the lysimeter, different methods about the calculation of the drainage. Yeah. I think you are using the measurement to calculate the hydraulic gradient between the two points, and you are comparing it to these lysimeters that has bottom. The problem is like when you are using the unit gradient, basically, that you are assuming you have infinite soil column. But in practicality, your design is in order for the water to exit your lysimeter, your gravitation, it has to be saturated. It has to overcome, which is not what the method that you use, which assuming infinite long soil profile. And that's, I won't expect the result to be the same. So I think that's where, so if the best way to match your results, use, for example, Hydrus or use any other model, where you have to have to specify the right boundary condition for your field experiment.
No, I think you're right. One of the things that is not shown on the lysimeter is that the tensiometer was on the side of the X, as close as possible, to limit as possible.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if they are at the other hand, then you've got to take into account that longer path.
Okay.
But indeed, you're
Thank you.
All right. With that, I think we'll, unless there's other comments, we'll conclude. I just remind you that there are three posters associated with this session being displayed downstairs. So thank you all for coming.